You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Hello. Welcome back. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another after show for The Newsroom. It is Season 2, Episode 6, One Step Too Many. And I am your host, Kelly, and it's just me and
Kristen Carroll tonight.
It's just the two of us tonight.
Shout out to the rest of our hosts. Some of them had to be taken into other shows tonight.
Yes, but hopefully we'll all be back together next week. But so let's talk about this episode. Will is really stressing over his likability factor.
I feel so bad for him because that's been such a problem. It's been holding him back, I feel like.
Yeah.
Especially now that he's dating Nina officially.
Yeah.
Which when she called him honey, I cringed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really trust her. I don't know if she really has his best interest or what her angle is. I feel like there's some kind of angle there.
I think she does like him, mm-hmm. but I think she also knows in the back of her mind, if this goes south, which it looked like it did,
mm-hmm.
that would not be an ex-girlfriend you would want, the head of a gossip.
Yeah.
I know. That would be terrible.
Well, she seems to be giving him kind of not the best advice.
Not for his show. It would be if it was his older mm-hmm. show and he did want to get more people to like him. And obviously that's been a problem for him, but that's not how he should be handled.
No, and I think it's because she doesn't know all of the facts either. Like, she doesn't know what all of the testing is. She didn't really do a full kind of, she didn't do her own research. Like, she's mm-hmm. going off what he's telling them. At least that's what it looks like. She's just going off what he is telling her and giving advice based on that. And you, for something like that and for his position, I would think you would want to get the full circle of what kind of what he needs about, you know, his trust factor and all of those other things, not just, you know, him being combative and but all the different statistics that they pull.
Exactly. She's seeing a small, insecure part of him.
Right.
But she doesn't know him that well yet.
Yes.
And that comes with just being in a relationship and history. And Will doesn't open up easily anyways, so he's showing her one side.
Right.
So she's just saying, here's a guy, he wants to get more people to like him. Well, I'll help him with that. So I actually didn't mind that part of it, but mm-hmm. because it's Nina and him, yeah. and I just...
Well, I don't think she was digging deep enough into him and asking, what is really the most important thing here for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. You want people to like you, but also you're a public figure. Not everybody's going to like you all the time. That's kind of the, you know, what you have to deal with when you're a person that is in the public eye that way.
Well, and she did this one thing where she said, well, if you just want to do the show you want, then that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're in the kitchen. And she brings it up again. Here's mm-hmm. what you need to do. You need to be the guy from Nebraska who builds mm-hmm. his own lodge or what was that other one?
A cabin,
steal from the Midwest and steal pies. And he goes, do you think you're confusing me with a hobo?
Yeah, she wants him to have this more of a wholesome kind of demeanor on what kind of the way she sees him at home, a little bit more relaxed and, mm-hmm. you know, because he does have, you know, a little sense of humor. And he is when he's around mm-hmm. people that he semi-trusts a little bit. But I think that Sloan nailed it, that the audience kind of filled the void that Mackenzie left when they broke up.
Yeah.
And then when he started doing the show in two different ways. And that's just what he needs, is he needed that. And he needs to be able to separate that. And I don't think he was getting the right advice from Nina. I think maybe her heart was in the right place. It's just not what he needed. And seeing him on the morning show was so ridiculous.
That was, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah.
Just because it was so out of character for him
uh-huh.
to do something like that. And you can kind of see at first that he's going along with it. And all of a sudden they put that helmet on his head and he checked out.
Yeah. And it was so awkward. He was not having it. As soon as they put the helmet on his head, he was over it. He was done. He was ready to just, this was not the right path. He completely regretted it.
Do you think he actually hit the light thing on purpose, or is he just saying that afterwards to cover?
I don't know. It's a part of me thinks he did do it on purpose because he was like, he felt so stupid. So then he just did. But then another part thinks it was probably just an accident.
I didn't think it was more of an accident, just for fun that he did that.
But I like that he goes back in the green room and he's like, I have to do two things. I have to write a big check and I have to break up with you immediately.
And then that makes me nervous if he broke up with her, if that was something serious.
I wonder if it really stuck.
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we didn't get to see a whole lot of that later on, and even in the previews, and he doesn't touch on that. Because I really do have to imagine she's not a girlfriend you want to piss off.
Yeah. But they do seem to have a cute dynamic with each other and a comfortability. And when she was laying on his chest and he was kind of running his fingers in her hair, and you know, he seems to like that. And you know, I'm sure he wants companionship. He just, you know, got his heart broken really badly and it's hard for him to kind of get over it. So it's nice to see him opening up that way a little bit. And unfortunately, he just kind of jumped in and went too quick too soon to kind of do what she suggested.
Yeah, if you had just seen them in their apartment, you think, oh, this such a cute couple.
Right.
But because you know both of their backstories, it doesn't make it as cute anymore.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, it was adorable. I mean, great acting on their parts.
You know. Well, I love the dynamic with he and Sloane. Like, I think it's so, like, I think it's so cute that watching them two, the two of them interact. And she says, you know, we're kind of like a, you know, brother, sister, and, you know, I'm going to chew you out and you're going to say thanks, sis, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And she really gets him in a way that not many people do. And I like how she kind of analyzes him and just gives him the facts. And that's what he needs. She doesn't elaborate. She doesn't pad things. She just tells him, this is what this is. This is what you're doing. This is what I think. Here you go.
She has barely any filter. Yeah. She doesn't put up with any BS, which is great with Sloane. She has like her little quirky side, which I think is what gets her with Will very much. And it's a very good big brother, you know, younger sister.
But she's also very honest. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really hold back. And I like that. But she also knows him and she knows not to push it too far. And she knows that how he is with himself. So she doesn't need to make him feel worse than he already does. And, you know, once she says her piece, that's it. Yeah. And I think he respects her so much more for that because she really does understand him.
It was so touching, too, at the end when she walks out and after the morning show and he goes, I embarrassed all of our team. I promise to never do that again. And she stopped and says, I love you, Will. He goes, you know.
Yeah, thanks, sis.
Thanks, sis.
I know. I thought that was great. And just like kind of a perfect little tie into what she was saying. And I like that. I like that their dynamic with the two of them. I really like their relationship.
There was a moment in there, I can't really call it a Sorkinism because it was Will McAvoy quoting somebody, but it was one of my favorite lines of the night was, a woman is like a tea bag. You can't tell how strong she is until she's in hot water. And I thought that was great. I wish it was my Sorkinism for the night.
Yeah.
But I thought that was perfect.
Yeah, and does this have anything to do with what we're talking about? No. Just a good quote to say.
Just a good quote.
I know. I like that too. Well, what about Dawn? You know, let's talk about Sloane and Dawn.
After Sloane goes out with her New York Giant who ditched her at midnight.
Yeah.
But at least she got to dance with Savannah Guthrie and that girl's got legs. But I think, again, I've been saying this for most of the season is I'm so mad at myself that I hate Dawn.
Do you still hate him? Or are you warming up to him?
Sorry, I'm mad at myself that I like him now.
Oh, okay.
Because I still, season one, all that kind of stuff. But I'm slowly getting over that. Mm-hmm. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
Need to talk to Will's doctor about that.
Well, I think as his hours, we're seeing a different side of his character. At least for me, it's making more sense of how he was in the first season. Like, I'm starting to understand some of the reactions and the kind of the coldness and that he portrayed in the last season and why we hated him so much is starting to kind of make sense a little more. And he's really not a bad guy. I'm kind of starting to see him the way that Sloane described him in that one-on-one that they had, where he's not really a bad guy. Someone said he was, and he's trying to you know.
It's kind of a smaller version of Will McAvoy.
Yeah.
Trying to get people to like him.
A little bit.
To an not an exact replica, but.
No, but I get what you're saying, that he's just, you know, he is who he is, and, you know, he's got a different type of personality, and, you know, he's passionate about things that most people aren't, and I think that's kind of where the disconnect is with him and you know, a lot of other people, but, and he and Maggie just weren't a good fit.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it brought out the worst in him versus the nicer, softer side that we're seeing that he's when he's alone.
It's very true. He's trying to be something that he's not with her, and Sloane's a better fit that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked him. I thought it was funny him being jealous because he's having this semi-serious conversation with Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he's like, so did Sloane really go out with the New York Giants? So you know that he wasn't paying attention to anything that
right.
was being said before that, because that's all he had on his
mm-hmm.
mind. And I loved the little section. I know I said it while we were watching it, where Mac's like, well, now are you scared you're not going to get it done? It's like, that's not a matter of getting it done. It's just
getting it done in a spectacular way.
Yes, exactly. That was one of the funniest.
Yeah. Well, and I liked the two of them in their moment sitting there talking about things and talking about trust and, you know, he encouraging her to go out and meet people and kind of, you know, move on a little bit socially.
And they were both kind of, you know, at least Don at the beginning of the relationship with Maggie, they were both kind of the bad guy
mm-hmm.
in their relationships, but they're good people.
Right. They just made bad choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Good people, just bad choices. And it happens, especially when you're young or when you're in a relationship you're not ready for. There's a lot mm-hmm. of different reasons that, you know, things happen the way that they do. It's just, you know, mostly timing. It's just not the right time for whatever the situation is, or you just don't click.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to see them in different ways, and it's opening them up a little bit. And I like it.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool to see both of them talking, because you don't see their characters interact that much outside mm-hmm. of the newsroom, I feel like. So it was a more personal moment between Don and Mackenzie. And we see them have moments with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of a time where we've had an extensive period where
right.
they've been together.
No, I can't either. And I remember at the very beginning when she first came, we knew that they knew each other from before, but we haven't really seen kind of the extent of their relationship. And we did see a little bit of that
mm-hmm.
because she asks him about trust, and, you know, he thinks that the only person she trusts yeah. is Jim. And that's
not
when
even done.
Yeah, not even him. And, yeah. you know, that's when he kind of finally gets a little bit of recognition there, where she actually does, and he really genuinely seemed to not feel that way.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to kind of see that, because we don't really know, like, how long they've known each other.
Yeah,
right?
At this point, you know,
it's been a while,
since the first episode, at least that way, and then if they knew each other a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
But Mackenzie invites Don to everything, so there has to be some level of trust if she's bringing him in on everything
mm-hmm.
that's going on, especially with Genoa. So for him to kind of question how much she trusts, and he's not even on the show. I mean, it's been, 2 years? You know, 2 years of newsroom time, and he's still helping out with the newscast he left.
I know. That's one thing I don't get sometimes, is because he seems like he's always part of their team. When does he produce his own show?
Because it barely ever, I mean, in my work experience, mm-hmm. when somebody leaves something, I mean, I guess when I switched jobs, I still helped out, you know, person who replaced me, because I was in the same building
mm-hmm.
and I was actually friends with the person who replaced
mm-hmm.
me. So I kind of helped out for a little bit, but I hardly, you know, it's been a year since I've moved positions and I'm not involved
right.
in it at all.
Well,
over
he's
there.
Not really there for so much of the actual, like, day-to-day stuff. It's more, I guess, the hotter top of the bigger stories. I that probably spill over into his newscast, because his is right after theirs. So
mm-hmm.
so I guess I could see how it works. But he does seem to always be there in the middle of everything. But, it's cool. I like him. I'm starting to like him.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Darn it.
I know. Jim is actually starting to get on my nerves a little bit. But
really?
A little bit.
How so?
Just because I feel like he's a little too preachy to me.
I feel like he's babying Maggie mm-hmm. more so than he needs to. But I still like him. I like Hallie so much.
Oh, I like their hair. And it's fun to see that it kind of went past mm-hmm. their one night stand, and they've, you know, been, he calls her his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so it seems to be a little bit more serious than just
She's
that.
Not just the rebound anymore.
No. They have a little bit more. And it was cute to see their interaction. And I like the way he was with her, and he was genuinely excited mm-hmm. to see her, really wanted to spend time with her. And that's nice to see. But the way he treats Maggie, it kind of, irritated me a little bit. And I get it. There is definitely an issue there and something to discuss. But I feel like when you're dealing with it with such a delicate situation, the last thing you should do is parent someone.
Yeah.
Like if you really want to get to the bottom of what's going on and really be a friend, parenting them is not the way to do it. I think that's the best way to kind of push them deeper into whatever hole they're falling into.
I completely agree. And I think it's just making things more... I think he feels awkward around her anyways with everything yes. that's happened with her in Africa, with everything that happened with Lisa and mm-hmm. all of that. I just don't think he knows what to... He doesn't know what to do and he still cares about her. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see, you know, depending on how many seasons the newsroom mm-hmm. gets, that they'll eventually end up together.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I think his concerns are legitimate. I think mm-hmm. it's right for him to be concerned. She works in a very delicate situation with, you know, classified information, a lot of secrets that they need to keep and all of this. So I get it. Drinking is not the best thing no. for her. It's not the best solution for whatever's going on with her. And I totally get that. And his mind is in the right place, but the way he's going about it, I feel, is a little bit wrong. Just because she is young, she is defensive and rebellious and will do exactly the opposite because she feels like he's trying to parent her.
Yeah.
And especially, I think with their dynamic, that's just not the best approach.
No, it's a terrible person to do it, although I think he's the only one kind of noticing. And I feel like if somebody's going to help her, it does need to be more of a Mackenzie or a Will, who is kind of more of a parental role to her.
Right. Yeah, because she doesn't really
like Jim.
she doesn't have a respect for him. I believe that she should because of their sordid past, mm-hmm. you know, for him being an authority figure. So it just doesn't fit right in this.
Yeah.
And he hid the fact that he's dating Hallie yeah. from her. You know, well, Hallie jumped in and kind of made a cover story to be polite. Yeah.
That's the kids call it these days.
And I thought that was nice because I'm sure she knows everything that's, you know, that Maggie has gone through and didn't want to make anything worse. And
oh, yeah.
It's definitely a delicate situation there. And she's obviously confident enough in herself and all that not to care, which I think is great for the two of them.
She's Meryl Streep's daughter.
True.
She's confident.
Very true. But it was sad that their date night got cut short because she had to take off on another.
That was really, and he spent all that money on I wrote down where they stayed because I was actually impressed. But yeah. Suite at Soho Grant. I mean, that must be ridiculously expensive.
That, I'm going to tell you, I've actually stayed there once before, and it's amazing.
It just looked amazing.
Yep.
Anything with the word Soho in it usually costs money.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the place I stayed. It's somewhere in Soho, and it sounds like that. Maybe that's a made-up hotel, but I think that's it. But it was fantastic. Like, it was for work. Work paid for it, so that's the only way I got away with it. But it was really nice, so for that and them not being able to use it is pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, and I know when we were watching the show, I thought mm-hmm. for sure he wasn't going to be able to, like, get it done because they just saw Maggie, and I thought that was going to be the problem. And I'm actually kind of glad because you knew he was going to end up back down there with her.
Right.
It was just a matter of
how he was going to get there. Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of glad it had to do with, you know, Hallie not being around.
Yeah. And right. not him kind of ditching her to go to Maggie. You're right. I thought that was a good little twist because that would have been the obvious choice, the way to go. Mm-hmm. Is that he feels bad. He's going to feel like he's responsible. He needs to go take care of her and kind of rescue her.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad that that wasn't the case.
And how I loved Neil and Aubrey. I don't think it's going to last. But
he was obviously so annoyed by her.
I thought he looked kind of amused, actually.
Well, when she was talking, when she was trying to speak about, you know, politics and the things like that, and he's like, "What the heck yeah. did you just say?" And kind of has this little combative thing back with her.
Yeah.
But he just kept. I think he was a little annoyed, but I thought he thought it was funny.
Yeah, like I don't think again there's going to be a future there, but
no,
I thought it was a funny night for that, and then for. I love Constance Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad she couldn't make it on with us. She was supposed to maybe come on the show, but she's like one of my favorite, you know, she's always like this great co-star
mm-hmm.
in everything. And for her to come back at this episode and be at their dinner. And I think, again, I don't think it would be realistic if all of a sudden in real life, if Hallie had invited, you know, that character to come to dinner with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how it happened on the show because it makes it funnier.
Oh, absolutely. His, you know, his romantic dinner turned into a party of five.
Because that's me and my boyfriend's inviting me out to a romantic dinner. I'm not inviting somebody he doesn't get along with if we're going to a fancy place.
You know what would be funny is I would probably do what she did, like feel bad because she's by herself and she doesn't have anything to do. Oh, come to, like, I'm the person that does that. Oh, let's everybody hang out. And I always get in trouble for that because I don't think about it. I just want, you know, I don't like to see people,
just want to make
you know,
them
like,
happy.
Hello. Yeah. But I, yeah. So I would have totally orchestrated dinner like that. It would have been terrible. But it was, you know, we got to see, I like the banter between Taylor and Jim. I like that that she challenges him and he comes right back. I like that. But it's, it sucks that she got fired.
Yeah.
For questioning, you know, him and for questioning Romney and wanting the campaign to be different.
I agree. It'll be interesting, too, because, you know, I don't think that'll be the end we see of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now if she's fired, I wonder how she'll, you know, end up in the storyline again.
I don't know. I think that might be, she only had a few episode arcs, so I don't think I think this might be it, but we'll have to double check on that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. So I couldn't say one way or the other, but.
Because I think it was only like three, maybe four episodes. But one thing that Aaron Sorkin did say about that is she was supposed to only have one, but he really liked writing for her and kept and wanted to keep the character going.
I love that he does that because when we talked to Margaret and the fact that she was able to stay as long as she does and that he finds people that he likes and writes it longer or likes the character so much. And the cool thing with that is, too, is that the audience usually ends up loving the character
Yeah,
so it's a good perspective on that.
I like that it's not just set in stone. Like, when they come on, if he feels it, he goes with it. And that's definitely one, especially with her character, because she is so great.
Yeah.
And she definitely adds that little fiery something to it, which makes it a lot more fun to watch.
And it's cool with somebody like that with Jim.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Aww.
To kind of pull.
Sorry if you can hear that. It's probably Sparky in the background.
We can, but I don't know.
But I want to hear what everybody else thinks on YouTube. I mean, of Jim and Hallie. So please, guys, send us your comments. We definitely want to hear from you. I love hearing from everybody. We got a few.
What do we got?
From YouTube, Poppy XEO again. He wrote to us, "Whoa, you guys have to back off Don." It's probably me. Sorry about that. He's just ambitious and acting in the way he thinks he should. That is true. So he was lying. He makes the point he was lying to himself, and it's his inner dishonesty that causes his issues. So now that he's more of himself in business and love, you know, it's kind of gone, which is what we we're talking about. And then also shout out to Ryan Whittle. I'm sorry. I'm so bad at pronouncing things. Whit Allison, I think. WITALISON. And he just wanted to let us clarify because we talked about Sloan's naked pictures and kind of gave us a rundown of, because I'd mentioned Aaron Andrews and how that worked, and I wasn't exactly sure the exact facts behind it, but it did seem like her career excelled, you know, after there were scandalous pictures out. So he talked about that. And he put, funny enough, Sloane's storyline mirrored Olivia's personal life as she had a series of personal photos for her boyfriend released online by a hacker.
Yeah, you know, there are a few celebrities that happened to. Somebody was hacking into these different celebrity phones.
I don't remember it from her, but I
think she was one of them. I believe so. There were a few that had happened to, unfortunately.
Yeah, there was. Be careful. Scarlett Johansson. And phones are not safe.
Be careful what you take pictures of on your phone.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we definitely love all your comments. So please go to iTunes and YouTube, rate and comment, and let us know what you think about all these great storylines. If you trust Nina and think if she and Will should stay together too. I kind of want to know.
Yeah, I'm
or
very
Or should the
curious.
Breakup stand?
I'm very curious what other people think of Nina with Will. And how that all works. I know there's some people that don't like Mackenzie, so they like Nina better, or just think Will needs to start new. Like, we want to hear from the fans what else they think.
I still think Don needs to step up and just ask Sloan out. He already knows she likes him, so just do it. Get it over with. 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah. He should just write, like, do a note in high school and just pass it. Do you want to go out with me?
Yes, no, maybe.
Check a box. Yeah, exactly. That might be the easiest route for him right now.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the serious stuff.
Genoa,
chemical weapons. The more and more that they get into this, how would they not have run that story? They had so many people pretty much saying that it happened. How did all these people lie.
But all these people, too, there was hardly anybody except for Sweeney that gave a direct, yes, this happened. All of them, you know, you can't find the Twitter guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go to, I love Stephen Root, who mm-hmm. played Stomkowski.
Stantomovich.
Stantomovich, thank mm-hmm. you. And who played him, and he's saying it not when the cameras are rolling, it happened as Maggie's walking out the room,
mm-hmm.
which explains more why they question her, because she wasn't really in the room or out of the room.
Right.
And he's saying yes, you know, behind the camera, but on camera, he said, mm-hmm. if we used.
Yes.
And so you have all these things that, I mean, obviously, yeah, I think in the newsroom world that happened.
A bunch of hypotheticals. Nobody really does come out and say it. You're right. But, you know, the manifest that they're given, the fact that, you know, Charlie's guy comes in to talk to him, gives him this paper, and basically gives him this hypothetical story that's exactly, you know, pretty much mirrors what they're investigating
mm-hmm.
and gives him the whole, what would you do if it was your son?
So it's so hard because, yeah, you want to run it because mm-hmm. you're sitting here thinking, well, gosh, you know, like Jerry Dantana. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the reason he's messing with the tape. But
I can't believe. And then it just goes back to, you know, Mackenzie's gut feeling. She really didn't trust him. That's why she was asking Don if he did.
Mm-hmm.
And she should have. I don't know. How do you. It's such a touchy subject. It's war crimes. It's accusing the country of war crimes. That's not fun and games. Like, it's not something you can easily take back after that happens.
I think that's why you definitely need somebody who says, you know, more than one person that says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were right when they were talking in the meetings. I mean, if this happens, or we're actually what Don was also talking about with Mackenzie, if this happens,
mm-hmm.
it spirals into a whole other, you know, there's going to be protests, probably deaths in other countries, because, I mean, America is not that favorited in certain places. And then if they find out that we used sarin gas, I mean, that's just going to cause a whole lot of problems.
It's definitely, and it's so hard to believe. So it's a very... They really have to be sure if they're going to go out with it. And at this point, they think that they pretty much are when they get the call back from the...
Valenzuela?
Valenzuela. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was interesting to me there is that, you know, we find out there were two guys with the same name, both with the same rank. One was deployed, one had died in action. So when they came back and he got the call back... They just went with the story and didn't question him about this and find out he was the wrong one? Like, that's where I'm a little confused on that.
I'm hoping they'll elaborate that next week, because as you can see from the previews, this is when they're going to air the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping, because we didn't really have them talk to him on the phone. I mean, we didn't see.
No, it just cuts to Charlie with the lawyer, and he says, that was our final confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know at that point that he was the wrong one. And when we were looking for him and left messages, we didn't know that we had gotten the service record that he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back, returned the phone call. But that's where I was a little hazy. Is why did they just, okay, he called back, we're good, go with it.
But did, you know, what did he say on the phone?
Yeah, what did he say that made them go with it is my question. And I hope we get to see that in the next episode, because it just seems...
Otherwise,
crazy.
It's a really loose end.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I still can't get over Jerry manipulating that video.
I can't either. We saw Maggie, you know, a couple episodes ago with the mm-hmm. George Zimmerman tape where Jim goes up to her and says, were you trying to mm-hmm. manipulate for justice? And I think that was another thing that...
Kind of leading
doing.
Up to the, yeah.
Yeah, so it was on a much larger scale.
But do you really think it's justice, or do you think that he wants to prove himself with this big break, with this big story?
I think
he was so adamant, you know, wanting this so badly. He's already had to wait 7-8 months. He's interviewing all of these people. How much more does he have? He doesn't want them to stall anymore with this word if, so he takes it out.
Yeah.
And if you listen to it, it doesn't even make sense when they play it back. Because it doesn't make sense in the context of like, this next things that he says.
Yeah. And I was kind of wondering, even with that, you know, I've done editing before.
Mm-hmm.
You would think there would be a slight jump cut mm-hmm. as well. Now, maybe because he was sitting on one place and he barely moved, so you're able to
Well, and
to
you
do
saw,
that.
Like, he cut the frame. Like, he cut the frame out and went back and placed it back in where he made the edit. So it looked the same and it looked consistent. But I'm sure if you analyze it, you'll find that it doesn't
that
match up. I
mean,
I
would some think sort. There would have to be.
Yeah, there would have to be.
But
even after that, when he says, we use sarin, this is how we used it. But then the next phrase after that, we would have. So mm-hmm. it's not even consistent with the way that in the tent, the way that he's speaking.
Yeah.
So that right there seemed a little questionable. And for them to be dissecting everything so closely, it's just interesting to me that they wouldn't have caught that. Or maybe they do.
And maybe the only thing I can think of with that is Mackenzie thought this guy is a little out of there anyways. Mm-hmm. So maybe his speech isn't so, as I'm missing of my speech, isn't coherent.
Right. Well, yeah, which is one of the things they questioned anyway, because when they first got there, they thought he had forgotten that he had an appointment with them.
Yeah. And
so that's why they wanted
the garbage and him just sitting there watching March Madness. But although most guys do that anyway. Yeah.
Well, and he made some, you know, basketball analogies to that fit in with mm-hmm. is something really illegal if the playing field changes?
Yeah, if the guy brings out a knife.
Right. Is it still illegal to touch his arm? So that, and from books that he's written and things that he's advocated for, he felt that chemical weapons were a necessity in certain instances. So he was always kind of on the pro end of that. And so that could be another reason why he decided to participate in this. But he did try to cover himself anyway by saying if, and not the full we did this.
Well, and I think one of the other reasons he did that, because when Mackenzie and Charlie were there, he made a comment where he's like, let me watch this because after I do your show, I may mm-hmm. not be here much longer.
Right.
So that's kind of a scary thought mm-hmm. is that somebody could take care of him or ruin his life because he's talking about this. And I'm thinking the amount of time, you know, just over a day, maybe he slept on it and he's like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe he just wants to watch the end of March Madness. And if he doesn't do this, I don't know.
But gone. We saw from the preview too, that after he heard that, he went nuts, called them. And immediately I didn't say that. Well, it's what it looks like from the preview.
Well, he's going to look at that and he's going to know because Jerry was trying to get him to just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he repeated this if about 7 or 8 times
mm-hmm.
There. So he's going to remember
right.
saying if.
And that's the question that Rebecca Halliday kept asking Maggie because she wasn't in the room.
Yeah.
Remember from a couple episodes ago, did you hear it? Did you hear him say if?
Well, and it was also the mm-hmm. it happened.
Yeah, the it happened. Yeah,
which
that was the question.
Before the cameras were even rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was technically, I mean, I guess it's on the record because he didn't say it was off, but mm-hmm. it wasn't something that they had filmed,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate for
right.
them. Because if they just had that, there's your proof
mm-hmm.
that he said it happened.
Well, and he said it happened to Charlie and Mac, pretty much.
Basically.
Yeah.
The only time we actually heard him say those words were mm-hmm. right when Maggie's walking out.
Yeah.
So, again, it's all, everybody's basically pointing to it, but nobody's actually circling.
I know. Yeah. I'm so anxious to see kind of how it all comes to light and how they really find out that it was all completely untrue.
Yeah.
Like how all of these pieces come together, because all signs point to this really happened. And I completely understand why they would have went for it.
Yeah, I can understand too. There's just too many things because I think it was Don that even made the point that sometimes, you know, you have to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you report a cover up or not?
Yeah, because he was talking about the thing with the Newsweek.
Yeah, where they flushed the Koran down mm-hmm. the toilet and then there were bombings in London after that.
Yeah. So they, you know, he felt responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people tied it to that and said that was the cause of it. And you never know what can happen when you come out and say things. And is this something you really feel, you know, that should be reported, really? What mm-hmm. good is it going to do when people know? Could it do more harm than good is the big question.
Yeah.
And that's what, and a lot of that pressure lies with Mac. Because at the end of the day, you know, she's got to decide which side she's on.
Well, and I also have to wonder, not that this is necessarily plausible for them to do,
mm-hmm.
but have they reached out to anybody near that village? I mean, everybody they're trying to get is military. They tried mm-hmm. the Twitter thing, you know, so they had.
Well, remember, that's
somebody.
What Don and Jim are saying when they're doing the red team. Mm-hmm. Did you send people there to go talk to other people and do all of that? And they said that they couldn't.
Oh, okay.
It's too dangerous to do that. So they're just basically going off of the tweets. from what I understand. You guys correct us if we're wrong, but yeah, that's kind of what I got from that.
I must have been writing some. I wrote down so many different notes.
Because I know.
It was so quick.
There's so many things that are happening, right? As you know, it's hard to kind of keep up with everything. But I believe that's what it was, that Don and Jim were asking those questions. Mm-hmm. And the answer was, we can't send anyone in. It's too dangerous right now. So okay. they're just well, that that's how they're getting their information, was from the tweets from the people in the military that were either knew about it or were part of it or all of these other places. But as far as I know, they didn't have any real confirmation on the ground because they weren't able to get in touch with the Hamni 8.
That's definitely something that'll hurt them, even if it was dangerous for them to go over there. I think it's still a kind of a necessity. You need somebody more than just Hamni 8.
Yeah, because they just have the Hamni 8, the report that Leon Diet did, that manifest. Then they have this Stamtanovich, mm-hmm. and then the Valenzuela kid that calls.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what they have to go on. So it's going to be very, very interesting
to see
what happens. I'm excited for the next episode.
I'm really excited to see what Will has to say about this, because obviously he's okay reporting it. I still tend to think that it's going to be Mackenzie convincing him rather than him actually being convinced.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Mackenzie and Charlie, because Charlie is really 100% for this too.
Yeah.
So the two of them, he's going to go for it. I think that's kind of how that all happens.
Because they haven't brought him in on any of the red team meetings. And I like that they've had two of them. And each time, you know, they just started with the three main characters and then they kind of expanded. So we got to see Gary Cooper and Tess in there and somebody else in the back that I did not recognize, but may have been a lawyer of some sort. So
I don't know, but we'll see. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Lots going on. But do you have some news and gossip?
I do.
Let's get into that.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So congratulations to John Gallagher Jr., who plays Jim. He just got hired to join the HBO miniseries, so you can see him more on HBO in Olive Kittredge. And it's from the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, and it also has it was emphasized when actress Frances McDormand paid out of pocket for the rights. HBO and Tom Hanks decided to produce a miniseries from it. So he's going to be a part of that, which is very cool. I really thought this was cute. Jeff Daniels did a short little interview where it was 25 things you may not know about him. Some of the funny stuff that he put in there is, I don't rumba. I was never on Full House. So I think he gets confused a lot with people. He sang the national anthem at Dodger Stadium. He sang God Bless America at Comerica Park in Detroit. And I didn't know this. He dropped out of Central Michigan University, but he later received an honorary doctorate from there.
Interesting.
I had some other, you know, fun stuff.
Where can you find that article?
Now I don't remember. I found it in the news section in IMDb. So it was one of those that was on there. Why didn't I write that?
Well, we'll find it and we'll tweet it out for you guys if you want to read, like, the other interesting facts.
We have news that Olivia Munn dislocated her shoulder. There's a video she tweeted out that was her on a swing, I guess, in her apartment and was going far too high. And at least she has a good sense of humor about it. And she fell off of the swing. The guy holding the camera, like, videotaped it, kind of freaked out, and it's black, and all I can hear is, like, moans in the background. So we hope she's okay and speedy recovery. And should I talk about the...
Yeah.
So this is just from gossip things, and we have no idea if this is true or not, but there were a few different articles I saw online that...
are allegedly claiming.
Allegedly claiming that Olivia Munn isn't the easiest to work with and may not be there for season 3.
Ooh. I don't know how much I believe that, because I've worked with her on something before, and she doesn't, like, she was very easy to work with, really, really nice. And
she seems like fun.
That's kind of the first few things I've heard negative about her. So I'm curious to know where that comes from.
I know some stuff I heard from, because I worked with G4 people with Attack of the Show, and she used to be the co-host for there, but I wasn't there for that section, she was gone by the time I started working there. So yeah. I have no idea. She seems fun. I love Sloane. So if they got rid of Sloane, that would be incredibly sad.
Yeah, no. And we still don't know for sure if we're definitely getting a season three yet. So exactly. We'll see. I mean, hopefully all signs are pointing to yes, but I think more of a scheduling thing. So we'll see how that goes. But also, there is an interesting article on Variety that talks about Aaron Sorkin and his muddled office romances. It talks about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, if you guys are familiar with that show, and The Newsroom, and a little bit of The West Wing. And it's just kind of interesting to see how he talks about the romance between the characters and how they feel that it kind of, you know, messes with it, how the media critiques the shows based on the way that he writes these romances. So we tweeted it out. You can check it there. You can go variety.com and read that article, because it's just pretty interesting to see how they analyze that. But okay, what about predictions?
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. Ooh, I think Nina's going to cause some trouble for Will if they actually did break up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll necessarily see that next episode. I think it'll be totally focused on Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sloane and Don have to go out before
at
the end of
point,
the season.
Yeah. Do you think Mackenzie knows about Will and Nina yet?
No.
No, I didn't either, because especially when she said he was at home with Macbeth.
Well, I guess then she does kind of know, but I don't think she really knows.
I don't know. I didn't get the sense that she knows that they're hooking up. I don't know.
But if he's at home with Lady Macbeth, I think that's what she was calling her was Nina. But I don't think she knows the extent
No,
of,
not that. I think that, you know, maybe it's like a fling or something, but not like a real them Kitsy. Talking and whatever. I would have liked to have known what she thought about the whole morning show thing. Like, I was kind of bummed that she didn't come in and say something to him about it.
Yeah, that would have been, that would have been really funny.
I think that was the only thing that was missing for me from that part was that.
What about you?
I don't know. I think Maggie's drinking is going to kind of play into why she gets a haircut and a new hair color. I think something, you know, may happen with that.
Going home with bartenders.
Yeah.
All that.
I wonder what's going to happen there. But I think that kind of like plays into her, you know, as what she's going through gets worse and worse and how that happens. I don't know. But I'm excited to see where it goes. I can't, you know, if Jane Fonda comes back in and kind of rips everyone for this, I really want to see that.
It's good to have her back.
And how that's going to happen. That's going to be awesome to see. So we're excited for next week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys. We will hopefully have our whole crew back next week to kind of get into.
And September 1st, I can officially say we will have Chris Jock, plays Gary Cooper. He will be on the show with us.
Fantastic.
So very excited for that.
Yes. So thanks again. Make sure to follow us at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And you can follow me, Kristen Carroll 13, on Twitter.
And we'll see you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.